We will go ahead and get started. And as usual, we love comments and participation in this class. So Isaac Wallace, you are invited to comment, and you'll get a chance to read, just like we all take turns reading. And so if you have something that you want to share, you are more than welcome. And that goes for you too, Patty. We've got Patty Wallace here today too. If you have a comment or want to share something in your heart, we would love to hear you. But the requirement is you have to come where the microphones can pick you up. So you will be required to do that if you come in. And that's the same for all of you that are with us. We would love to hear the Jesus that's in your heart and to feed us all. So you just participate as the Lord leads, and we will be his body together. Let's go ahead and open with prayer before we begin. Lord, we just thank you for people who want you, who want to know you, who want to gather at your feet. And Lord, each and every one of us would say somehow, in some way, that we are each blind and don't know you. But we do know you, and we know you enough to want to know you more and to love you more. So Lord, even though we are doing a fundamentals class on discipleship, really our hearts are gathered to you, and we really want to glean what the Spirit would share us in that spirit, and not in the spirit of a class or the spirit of a book, Lord. So be in our midst today, we invite you, and to lift up Jesus in your name. Amen. Okay, well, today we are going to look at the chapter on prayer, which in my book is page 34. So I think all the versions are the same. I believe that if you want to follow along online, that the book is in the chat and somewhere in there, and so you can follow along. And we will begin reading, and I think I will start today with the reading. But before I start, I just want to say a couple things. I like to do different exercises. I don't know if you've noticed this, but I like to kind of come at different angles every time, because I believe that we're not just trying to read a book and get something out of it. We're trying to learn to have a relationship with the Lord while we read the book. Okay? That's because really the Lord is the thing that matters. And when you're reading a book, it's no different than talking to another believer in this respect, that nobody has it all together. Nobody has it all right. There are flaws. There are shortcomings. Whether you read a book or you're relating to a believer in real life. And so it's important to learn how to find the lamb in what you're reading, find the lamb, and just let the rest go. Okay. So that's step one, to find the lamb and let the rest go. And the second step is to have a good spirit about it, where we don't look down on people because of their lack and think, well, we have the preaching of the lamb here, so we're better, and so we kind of take what we want from them and then look down on them, or some kind of an attitude like that. We don't want to have that spirit. We want to have a teachable spirit, that believers all over the world in some form or fashion know Jesus better than we do, and we can learn Jesus from other people, even if we know more in other areas. So we don't want to be of an I know spirit. We want to be of an I love spirit, and the mind of Christ always considers other people better than themselves. That's just the mind of Christ right there. And to really not just say, okay, well, I'm going to let you teach me something, but I really know deep down that I'm better. Like, not to have that spirit, but to have a spirit of, they probably really are better. They probably really are better. And if had they heard the teaching of the Lamb, they would probably receive it better than I do. That would be the right spirit. You see what I'm saying? The mind of Christ that always counts others better. So I want us to move forward in that. But having that spirit, but while reading, just to notice a couple things, okay? Put up your spiritual antennas as we read and notice, what is the tone of this chapter? Like, what is the atmosphere this chapter breeds? And what kind of an effect does it have on you as you read, okay? Now, anything we read has a tone or an atmosphere and has an effect, but I haven't always pointed that out. So today I want to kind of introduce this as a skill when you're reading for pursuing Jesus, to note the tone, not just the words, but the feel that is exuded from your reading. And along with that, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb as you read? And then along with that, he does reference a lot of scripture verses, maybe something, a certain scripture verse attracts you, and just see if there's something there that we can, you know, maybe talk about later. We can look up in our Bibles and discuss apart from the book. So we want to be open to the word while we read, because multiple things can be happening while we read. So we want to just be open to that. Okay. So here we go. Prayer. Now we've got our spiritual antennas up. The only completely satisfactory book that has ever been written on the subject of prayer is the Bible. Woo-woo. All other treatments leave us with a feeling that there are depths that have not been reached and heights that have not been scaled. In this booklet, we cannot hope to improve on the efforts of others. All we can do is to summarize some of the important principles of prayer, especially as they have to do with the subject of Christian discipleship. Number one, the best prayer comes from a strong inward necessity. We have all proved this to be true. When our lives are serene and placid, our prayers are apt to be dull and listless. When we reach a crisis, a moment of danger, a serious illness, or a heavy bereavement, then our prayers are fervent and vital. Someone has said that the arrow that is to enter heaven must be launched from a bow fully bent. A sense of urgency, of helplessness, of conscious need is the womb from which the best prayers are born. Unfortunately, we spend most of our lives trying to cushion ourselves from necessities. By the use of clever business methods, we provide comfortable reserves against every imaginable contingency. Through sheer human cleverness, we reach the stage where we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Then we wonder why our prayer life is shallow and lifeless, and why no fire falls from heaven. If we truly walked by faith instead of by sight, then our prayer life would be revolutionized. Just pause there for a minute and think about that. If you're keeping a journal and the Lord is speaking to you, feel free to write something down. There might be something here from the Lord for you. This is number two. One of the conditions of successful prayer is that we must draw near with a true heart, Hebrews 10:22. This means that we must be genuine and sincere before the Lord. There must be no hypocrisy. If we are to meet this condition, then we will never ask God to do something when we have it in our own power to do it. For instance, we will never ask him to raise up a certain amount of money for a Christian project if we ourselves have surplus funds that could be used in this way. God is not mocked. He does not answer prayers if he has already given us the answer and we are not willing to use it. In this same connection, we should not pray for the Lord to send others on his errands if we are not willing to go ourselves. Thousands of prayers have been uttered in behalf of Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists, but if all who prayed had been willing to be used of the Lord in reaching these people, then perhaps the history of Christian missions would have been more encouraging. And I think I'll stop there. And who would like to pick up the reading from the three of you, Marcia, Isaac, or Isaac?
I can start.
Okay. Go ahead with number three.
Prayer should be simple, believing, and unquestioning. It is all too possible to become absorbed with the theological problems connected with prayer. This serves only to dull the spiritual senses. It is better to pray than to solve all the mysteries connected with prayer. Let the doctor of divinity spin their theories concerning prayer, but let the simple believer storm the gates of heaven with childlike trust. It was Augustine who said, "The learned take heaven by force.
The unlearned
take heaven by force, and we, with all our learning, rise not above flesh and blood. I know not what methods rare, but this I know, God answers prayer. I know not what he sends, when he sends the word that tells us fervent prayer is heard. I know it cometh soon or late, therefore we need to pray and wait. I know not if the blessing sought will come in just the guise I thought. I leave my prayers with him alone, whose will is wiser than my own. Lola C. Henson. For true power in prayer, hold back nothing. Be surrendered to Christ. Go all out for him. Forsake all to follow the Savior. The type of devotion that crowns Christ Lord of all is the kind that he loves to honor. God seems to place a special value on prayer when it costs us something. Those who rise early in the morning enjoy instructions for the day from his Father.
I think you skipped a line. Oh. Enjoy fellowship with the one.
Those who rise early in the morning enjoy fellowship with the one who likewise arose early to receive his instructions for the day from the Father. Likewise, those who are in such deadly earnest that they are willing to pray through the night enjoy a power with God that cannot be denied. Prayer that costs nothing is worth nothing. It is simply a byproduct of a cheap Christianity. The New Testament often links prayer with fasting. Abstinence from food can be a valuable aid in spiritual exercises from the human side. It promotes clarity, concentration, and keenness. From the divine standpoint, it seems that the Lord is especially willing to answer prayer when we put prayer before our necessary food. I'll finish there.
Okay. Well, Marcia, would you be willing to read a little bit? All right. Start at number 6.
Okay. Avoid selfish prayers. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. James 4, verse 3. The primary burden of our prayer should be the interests of the Lord. First, we should pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then we might add, Give us this day our daily bread. Number 7, we should honor God with great requests because He is a great God. Let us have faith to expect great things from God. Thou art coming to a king. Large petitions with thee bring. For his love and power are such, thou canst never ask too much. John Newton. How often have we grieved the Lord by expecting so little of him? We have been content with such scanty triumphs, with such poor attainments, with such feeble longings after higher things, that we have not impressed those around us with the thought that our God is a great God. We have not glorified him in the eyes of men who know him, not by lives that arrested attention and awakened inquiry as to the power by which they were sustained. Too often it has not been said of us, as was said of the apostle, they glorified God in me. E.W. Moore.
Good job. I have to say, I'm really proud of Marcia reading some of these difficult words in a second language. So you're doing very well. And thank you for being that brave to be willing to put yourself out there like that. Okay, that speaks something of you and your heart. So, Isaac Wallace, would you be willing to read for a little bit?
Okay.
Okay, start at number 8 and just read as long as you feel comfortable, okay?
All right.
All right.
In praying, we should first make sure that we are in the will of God. Then we should pray, believing that he will hear and answer. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. 1 John 5:14-15. To pray in the name of the Lord Jesus means to pray in his will. When we truly pray in his name, it is the same as if he were actually uttering the request to God, his Father, and whatsoever ye shall ask in his name, or in my name, is what it says. That will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14:13-14. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. John 16:23. Again, I say unto you that if you, or if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Matthew 18:19-20. To ask in his name means to be taken by the hand and led to prayer by him. It means, may I say, his kneeling by our side and his desires flowing through our heart, that is what it means in his name. His name is what he is, his nature, and therefore to pray in the name of Christ must mean to pray according to the blessed will. Can I pray for evil in the name of the Son of God? What I pray for should really be an expression of his nature. Can I do that in prayer? Prayer should breathe the power of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, the desires of Christ in us, for us. The Lord teach us more and more to pray in his name. We should not think of closing a prayer without the very words, in the blessed name of our Lord. But then the whole supplication should be infiltrated by permeated by the blessed name of Jesus, all according to that name. Samuel Ridia.
Ridout, I think.
Ridout?
Yeah. Very good, Isaac. Excellent job. You were very clear. I could understand everything you said. That was great. Okay, well, how about if I pick up a little bit and read a little more? We'll just kind of go around the circle till we're done. If our prayer life is to be truly effective, we must keep short accounts with God. By that, we mean that sin must be confessed and forsaken as soon as we are conscious it has entered into our lives. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Psalm 66:18. We must abide in Christ. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. The person who abides in Christ stays so close to him that he is filled with a knowledge of the Lord's will. He can thus pray intelligently and be assured of answers. Again, the abiding life demands that we obey his commands. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3:22. A right state of soul is necessary if our prayers are to be heard and answered, 1 John 3:20. Number 10, we should not only pray at certain stated times during the day, we should develop the attitude of prayer so that we look to the Lord as we are walking along the street, driving in a car, working at a desk, or serving at home. Nehemiah is a classic example of this spontaneous type of prayer, Nehemiah 2:4b. It is a good thing to dwell in the secret place of the Most High instead of making occasional visits there. Okay. Isaac, will you go ahead and pick up right there, number 11?
Finally, our prayers should be specific. It is only as we pray for definite matters that we can see definite answers. Prayer is a marvelous privilege. By this, we can, as Hudson Taylor said, learn to move man through God. What ministries are in our hands for working miracles in the wonder realm of prayer? We can take sunshine into cold and sullen places. We can light the lamp of hope in the prison of despondency. We can loose the chains from the prisoner's limbs. We can take gleams and thoughts of home into the far country. We can carry heavenly cordials to the spiritually faint, even though they are laboring beyond the seas. Miracles in response to prayer. J. H. Jowett. To this, a writer named Wenham adds his testimony. Preaching is a rare gift. Prayer is a rarer one. Preaching like a sword is a weapon used at close quarters. Those far off cannot be reached by it. Prayer like a breech loader, has longer range, and under some circumstances is even more effective. Lord, what a change within us one short hour spent in thy presence will prevail to make. What heavy burdens from our bosoms take. What parched grounds refresh as with shower. We kneel, and all around us seems to lower. We rise, and all the distant in the near stands forth in sunny outline, brave and clear. We kneel, how weak, we rise, how full of power. Why, therefore, should we do ourselves this wrong, or others, that we are not always strong, that we are ever overborne with care, that we should ever weak or heartless be, anxious or troubled, when with us in prayer, and joy and strength and courage are with thee. Trench. I'll stop there.
That's good, because that's the end of the chapter. Oh. Mm-hmm. Good job. you're in tune. Lindsay, did you notice the form of that poem? English major? It's a sonnet. It was nice, wasn't it? I like sonnets. I'm partial to sonnets. So, okay, but that's beside the point. Okay, our spiritual antennas were up. You were picking up on different things, probably as we were reading. Perhaps, as some of our case, we listen better when we're not the one reading. But even so, you would have heard some things that you felt maybe came from the Spirit of Christ. And maybe you heard some things that didn't feel so much like the Spirit of Christ. Maybe they felt like something else to you. So, overall. So, I want to just open it up now. I'm going to ask some questions and let's see what we can come up with. And by the way, there's no wrong answer here. This is just a discussion. And we're trying to kind of learn together, okay? And I'm open to hearing from anyone, okay? All right. What was the tone or the climate or the feel of this chapter as we read it?
I think that that he starts off very clearly stating that the only completely satisfactory book that has ever been written on the subject of prayer is the Bible. So he really defers the whole time. Mm-hmm. He's always quoting someone else or quoting the Bible pretty much the whole time. So I thought that there was like an attitude of I'm not the expert in this a little bit.
Like a spirit of humility, maybe. Yeah. Would you guys agree with that? Or did someone else pick up on that? Because I think that's very insightful. Or want to add something to that. Marcia?
Yeah, I had a little bit on the beginning too, where it said, in this booklet, we cannot hope to improve on the efforts of others. All we can do is to summarize some of the important principles of prayer. I don't know, I kind of felt like the way that he said that was kind of like, you know, I can't do it or something. Sure. I don't know. That's what I felt from that little phrase.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then, okay, that was really good. I felt the same way. But as the chapter proceeded, were there other things that you picked up on other than that? Or was that the only sense that you got from the chapter? Yeah, Lindsay. But you have to come down here or you have to have a microphone up there where they can hear you.
Well, I was going to say, I thought he sounded pretty firm. Toward the beginning.
Lindsay is saying that she felt he sounded kind of firm, like he spoke strongly or had strong opinions about his points. More than that? Is that good? Okay. I felt that way too. I kind of felt, I'm using the word feel very loosely, not like an emotion, but this is kind of how it came at me. I kind of felt like, oh, I can't live up to all that. Like almost I felt like it was, even though on the one hand there was this one tone of humility, on the other hand, I felt like maybe it had a sense of a set of rules or I have to fulfill these conditions and like, oh, I'm not doing that. Did anyone else have a sense, or did that happen, a little reaction go off inside of them like that? Or am I the only one?
I did feel that for a second too.
You did too. Okay. When you felt that, Marcia, what did you do on the inside? Did you just let it happen or did you respond in the Lord or was there something else that happened in you?
Well, I do remember whenever Randy shares, sorry, it's really distracting to hear myself echoing, but I'm gone now. So that, you know, it's always talking about a heart condition. So I was kind of reminded of that because at the beginning I was like, I need to do this and I need to do that. Like, who is this guy to say how I need to pray because it's my relationship with the Lord? You know what I mean? Like, but at a certain point I felt like he was more talking about a condition of the heart, you know, and the way of a way of being more than, you know, doing something. So that's how I felt.
Good. I feel like that's very insightful because I kind of felt the same way. Like, well, what he's saying is true, but kind of like, I can't do all, I know I'm not doing all that. I don't know if I can do all that. And so when we read something like that, we know that he's sharing the Lord. I feel like what Isaac said is absolutely correct. And I can't take away from anything that, that Isaac Hunter said. But I also feel like something in his communication lent itself to almost like a law type of a spirit or a feel in there at the same time. And, you know, I don't know that he's actually that way. Sometimes it's just how the book comes across. You know, sometimes people don't always know how to speak, and I can include myself in this, and maybe you too, don't always know how to speak from their innermost belly where the spirit lives. But they know that the thing is true. So they're trying to communicate something, but maybe they're not quite accessing that deep place in them where Christ lives. You see what I'm saying? I mean, has that happened to you? You know, so it could be happening when the author is writing a book. So you see what I'm saying about having to divide some things out whenever you read. Usually when you're going to read something, or even if you're in a conversation with another believer, you're going to pick up on the Lord, and you're going to pick up on things that aren't always the Lord. Maybe not evil or dangerous or bad things, but maybe just not quite full of Jesus. And you're going to be picking up on both. And to learn to relate to what is the Lord and take that and receive that and to just let the other go. Because aren't we all in process? You know, I don't know how old he was when he wrote this book, but what if he lived 30 years after this and would have written this 30 years later? Would he have said it a little different, you think, Marcia? Maybe if he had had a chance to, like, mellow in the Lord a little more? I don't know, you know? So, but you see how we can, I don't know, we could read that list and someone can go, oh, I do all those things. I measure up and be full of pride. Someone else could look at that and go, I don't measure up and just, well, never mind, and get hard and reject it. You see, we can just, we relate in all these different ways. But if we're also saying, where is the Lamb? And Isaac pointed out at the very beginning a serious humility there that he doesn't have it all together, which kind of covers maybe this other a little. So, I don't know. I've learned to be a lot more forgiving as I read, is what I'm trying to say. Just really be open that I'm dealing with another person who may not have it all right, but they might have something of Jesus, and to like let my spiritual nose smell for Jesus somewhere. Where's Christ? So having said that, I feel like I found some places where Christ, the Spirit of Christ, was released. Like I said, where is the Lamb? I was looking for the Lamb. Was anybody looking for the Lamb and felt like they found a place where it's like, oh, that's Jesus? And if you didn't, that's okay. But I don't know, maybe Geraldine or Steve might pick up on this. They're really good in this area. Our Irish are highly intuitive, and so they might have a little insight here. But if not, that's okay. There's no pressure. But did anybody pick up on something of the Spirit of Christ in the sharing or the chapter?
I'm looking.
Oh, that's okay. Isaac Wallace, did anything stand out to you that you would like to make a comment on?
No.
Okay. Is that Geraldine?
Hey, yeah, sorry, guys. At work, and I was only able to listen in at a distance, so I couldn't catch it all.
Okay.
But I've just finished work, and I was able. But I don't know what the new guy's name is, but he read it in the Spirit of Christ, even though that wasn't what.
Lindsay says sorry for that. If you got the feedback, are you still?
No.
Oh, I see. Okay, now I see. That was Geraldine's comment. Thank you, Geraldine. I appreciate that. Steve, did you have something you wanted to share?
We lost audio.
Did you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just thinking what struck me is when he talked, I might have picked it up wrong, but I'm outside. But, you know, when he'd mentioned about if there's sin in our lives, then that's going to be a problem for prayer to be answered. And I don't think he's talking about, you know, well, sin is sin, but I mean, we can think something isn't sin, but God says, no, I need to really show you there's something that needs to be worked on in your heart, and that is preventing me from really moving like I'd want to move in your life. But I'll just wait patiently until you get that sorted out, until it's crucified, and then I'll move on your behalf. I don't know, maybe someone else can work on that.
I appreciate how you said that. I feel like that's really good. I think he's being very concise and kind of making a list, but I think, Steve, the way you said it kind of brings more of a spirit to it that is more of maybe full of the Jesus we all want to be full of. How about that? Thank you, Steve. That was good. Well, I'll tell you, something that really struck me is Christ. I was like, I felt like I was just being perfumed with Jesus. Is over on page 38. Is the second paragraph, kind of starting a few lines down. Well, I'll start at the beginning of the paragraph. To ask in his name means to be taken by the hand and led to prayer by him. It means, may I say, he's kneeling by our side and his desires flowing through our heart. Is that not Christ? That's Christ. That is him. That is what it means, in his name. His name is what he is, his nature. And therefore, to pray in the name of Christ must mean to pray according to his blessed will. And if you skip down a few lines, prayer should breathe the power of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, the desires of Christ in us and for us. I just love that part. I just felt like right in there, it kind of struck this chord of spirit and life. And so instead of like this image of prayer where you kind of kneel down and shut your eyes and, okay, I'm going to pray, and it just feels dead and cold and like, oh my gosh, what it, no. You know, instead of that, it has more of a living reality, which is, I mean, prayer is just, you know, expressing our relationship with the Lord, right? That's what it is. So I was touched by that particular paragraph. I felt like that was just full of living reality there, and I want that. I want to relate to the Lord like that, you know. Let's see, what else? Anything else along that line?
That was actually the part I was looking for.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I got another witness on that. Marcia, was there any area along the Spirit of Christ that was obvious to you while you were listening to other people read?
I don't think in the way that you are looking for. I mean, there was something that stood out to me, but...
Do you feel comfortable sharing that?
Yeah, it's not like super big or something. It was just the first one he mentions, the best prayer comes from a strong inward necessity. And I'm like, oh, that's so true. But it was just, I don't know, the first one hit me a little bit in that way.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think that any of us who have found ourselves in difficult times and have found ourselves with no recourse whatsoever but the Lord, and we are desperate, that's when he meets us in like deep and living ways. And may we have more of those. And may we stay in that position, even if things are not desperate. May we continue to be desperate in our hearts, even if our circumstances are okay, huh? A heart condition towards the Lord that he would delight in would be like that, you know.
And also now I'm actually thinking about it and talking with you. I was also reminded of like point three. I think there's also like a kind of a spirit there of like, not wanting to be the most, you know what I mean? Because it's saying like prayer should be simple, believing, and unquestioning. And I even find that, especially when you pray with other people around, you know, you can make yourself kind of want to sound very deep or like you know it all or you got it all together. And I don't know, I feel like, you know, just letting it be simple and letting him be the one, you know, instead of you and your prayer. I don't know. I felt something there, so.
I think that's really insightful. I appreciate that. And that's right. The Lord isn't looking for deep, spiritual, important people. He's looking for true hearts. and hearts that are humble and just love him and aren't trying to be anything special. And that just cuts against the grain of the flesh. And it's hard for us to appear that way in public. Shall I say it like that? But we want Jesus, and as disciples, we are learning to apply the cross. And so he will see to it that we appear that way in public. or at least give us opportunities to appear that way in public. So I know that's true of me. That's really good, Marcia. Thank you. That was really, I think, right in line of what I was thinking. And how about number six? Avoid selfish prayers. I mean, that can be a law, or we can see in that the nature of God, right? We're entering into fellowship with the three in one. And they're not selfish. They're loving and blessing others and trusting that another one's going to cover them. And they're inviting us into that fellowship. So what would be the spirit of prayer? It would be to love and bless them and our brothers and sisters and let the Lord take care of us, right? And to come with that heart of love and adoration. Anything else on that? Or anything? Yeah.
I had another thing. It was after right what you had said. It said prayer should breathe the power. It's on page 38, second paragraph. Prayer should breathe the power of the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, the desires of Christ in us and for us. And I just was really struck by that. Also, prayer should breathe the power of the Holy Spirit. As I was thinking about that, that part really struck me. The other part, it talks about Christ in us and for us, and that's great. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's really good. But this first part is a little more complicated, that prayer should breathe the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm thinking about it in light of what Meyer just said, and prayer is not about, it's not about being complicated or spiritual. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit, and the power of God is made perfect in our weakness. So I was really blessed by that, that God wants to use the simple prayer. He wants to use the inadequate, because that's where his Holy Spirit can come out first.
Yep, I think that's right. Both when you were sharing and when Marcia was sharing, maybe some of you also were thinking of this story. Oh, hi, Faf. It's good to see your bubble. I'm glad you're here. There's that little parable in the Gospels that Jesus tells about the publican and the sinner who go to the temple to pray. No, it's the Pharisee and the publican who go to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee, it says, prays with himself. Yeah. I thank you, God, that I'm not as the other guy. I'm so spiritual. And he has this appearance of being really spiritual, but in his heart, he's praying with himself. His prayer, in fact, is not simple. It's complex because he's got mixed motives. And what were some of the other little... Prayer should be simple, believing, and unquestioning. It was not simple. It was multi-motive. He had a lot of self in there. I thank you that I'm not as the other guy. And then you had the publican or the tax collector who just couldn't even lift his head. He was so humbled by his own state and said, God, just have mercy on me. And he got his prayer answered. And he was the one that the Lord accepted as being in relationship with him, the one who acted farther away. That's exactly the opposite of how our minds think. But maybe the wisdom of God's in that, huh? I need the Lord. I'm in the dark. I'm the one who's wrong. It's not about anybody else. Lord, I'm drawing near, even though I don't have anything to draw near with. You know, I have nothing to offer. And that man went home justified, Jesus said, rather than the Pharisee. Because there's a spirit about it. And we want to test the spirits. We want to test the spirits when we read a book. We want to test the spirit in our own hearts when we are praying, spending time with the Lord, serving in his service and doing things for him. So I think that's wonderful, really good. Okay, were there any scriptures that stood out there were a lot of scripture references. Isaac had a sharp sword, or Isaac Wallace had a sharp sword coming out of his mouth there for a whole paragraph, reading Bible verse after Bible verse. Is there any verse that grabbed your attention, or maybe the Spirit landed on something just as it was read, and you have a comment about that or something you'd like to share? I'll give you an example by starting with myself while you think about it. This whole thing, he mentions it towards the end, just in passing. It is, maybe it's not towards the end. It's where he says we should pray. Oh, yeah, it is towards the end. On page 39, it's under number 10. It says, Nehemiah is a classic example of this spontaneous type of prayer, Nehemiah 2:4b. And he's talking about don't just have times to pray. There should be a constant open channel between you and the Lord all day long, where your deep insides are open to receive and give all day long. And he gives Nehemiah as an example. And I was like, what? What is that? Now, I've already looked it up, you know, because I was praying. But did you look it up, Lindsay? Did that interest you? Do you want to come down and comment on it? Come. No, I would love for you to come and hear what you had to say, because I've been doing a lot of talking and I like to hear from others.
I don't know that I've gone away from it now, but I would just, the Nehemiah.
There you go.
This fact that the reference was in Nehemiah just made, I was like, Bible verse is that? You know what I mean? It's not just like John 3:16, I know what that is, I don't have to look it up. Like, I was like, what is that? And it was when he went before, it was when Nehemiah was going to ask to go back to Jerusalem, and he went before the king, and the king was just like, what's wrong with you? And he prayed, like, right in that moment. That was the context of it. And I was like, what an interesting verse to choose. I don't know if I have much more to say than that, except, I don't know, that he was seeing prayer in a place that I would completely gloss over in the scriptures.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it was like, there was something in Nehemiah that in that moment, he prayed, like, I don't know, before he even spoke or something like that. But it was just the most interesting reference for him to choose.
It hit me the same way. Did anyone else notice that reference and go, what?
I actually didn't notice that Nehemiah was in there.
You didn't notice Nehemiah was in there? Well, you know, that's what's fun about reading with more than one person, is that nobody notices everything. And when we discuss like this, we all have these different insights, and we can share them with the group, and everybody is edified. So that's part of the fun of doing it in a group. For instance, for me, what Isaac said at the very beginning, his very first comment about the humility that carried it through, I didn't pick up on that, but he picked up on that, and I was looking at him. But I'm including you because you're part of the group, okay?
I know, but we're both Isaac, so.
I know. But he was the first one who commented, right? So yeah. There's only one Isaac who was the first one who commented.
I know, but they may not remember that.
Okay. Well, thank you for clarifying for us. But I didn't see that to the fullness that Isaac saw it, and I was edified, and it helped me, you know. And so it doesn't matter if you're a younger believer or an older believer or whatever. We all can learn. We all have Christ, and within the right context and time, things can be received from, you know, others. And this format where we're reading together and talking together is a good time to hear from one another. So it's good. But yes, Nehemiah, I don't know if any of the rest of you kind of went, Nehemiah, that seems so, in the context of all the gospel verses that he quotes, it was just like, what? But I think what really struck me was Nehemiah is serving in a Gentile courtroom for a Gentile king. So there is not a lot of spiritual Jesus stuff going on in that room. I guarantee you there is leveraging for power. There are schemes. There's backheaded stuff going on. I mean, Nehemiah is the cupbearer. That means that he tests all the king's food and drink, so if it's poisoned, he dies first. I mean, it's not the job you dream of when you're growing up, you know. But he's serving the Lord in that capacity, and obviously enough in tune with the Lord in the middle of all of the crazy godlessness that's going on to be able to check with the Lord in that moment. Just check with the Lord in that moment. And you don't have to be in the middle of deep spiritual things, in the middle of a church service, in the middle of a gathering or a conference or in the middle of a big ministry thing where God is moving, to just have that open communion with the Lord all the time, in your job, at school, in your home life. And that's what he's trying to say. And it can go back and forth like Jacob's ladder in you. The Lord's coming up and down on that ladder. Prayers are going up, answers going down. The word's coming down and washing you. Praises are going back up to the Lord. And meanwhile, you're at work ringing up stuff on the register going, that'll be 1172. But on the inside, something can be going on of the Lord, you know. And we're not of this world. We are not of this world. We don't have to be overcome and engulfed by the spirit of this age. We can protect that relationship inside so that nothing that's going on our outside is touching it. And Nehemiah had an unbroken communion with the Lord that shaped the future of Israel, really. I mean, you know. Anyway, it caught me. Probably too much on that. Sorry. Okay. Isaac, I would love to hear anything that you had to share. Is there anything that you learned today or something that you'd like to bring out of the text?
Not really anything from today, but we're talking about prayer, and there was a class that I saw that Randy was teaching on, I think, Thursday, mm-hmm. and I have no idea what it was about, but there was only one thing that stuck out for me from that. It was about prayer, and he said that whenever he, I don't know what, but this is what I got from it, but mm-hmm. he said whenever we pray, we should be thinking of it as we are talking to our Father, not praying.
I love it. I think that that brings the spirit that maybe the book is lacking just a little, but prayer is just relationship with our Father. And if you have that heart condition, I think a lot of this other stuff will follow, don't you think? Well, how do I want to ask this? Thanks, Isaac. Wallace. Does anyone feel like maybe there's areas where they could be more in tune with the Lord in this way? I mean, maybe spend some time with the Lord and in prayer. I'm just going to throw out some questions. You don't have to answer them. Does he have to give you a feeling like you're praying? Do you have to feel something? Can you just be with the Lord, trust you're in his presence, and he doesn't tell you anything? And that can be prayer? Do you think that might even actually bear fruit? You know that it does. That just being in his invisible, unfelt presence and just being without having to get something is pleasing to him, honorable to him, and will have effects in your life of an increase of Christ. Because spiritual reality works different than earthly reality. And since we have no taste for that sort of thing, like our flesh doesn't have a taste for it, we don't do that. But just sitting with the Lord in his presence, if a prayer request comes up, pray it. If a Bible verse comes up, go look it up. But just to be with the Lord, just to be with the Lord and to be open in his presence and to do that as much as you can, as you are able and your personal level of endurance can do that, it will reap so many rewards. To be in relationship with the Lord just like that. Just like that. It doesn't have to be religious. It can just be with your Father. It can be in the spirit of humility. It doesn't have to be anything other than just you and him, kind of like what Marcia was sharing. And the Lord will come and he'll relate to you and he'll talk to your heart. And while you're busy with him, he'll be cleaning you up in ways that you weren't even noticing. It's just a wonderful relationship. So I would encourage you to open yourself in some new ways in prayer, in practical ways. Maybe take some time every day, even if it feels a little dry. It won't kill you. You don't have to be entertained 24 hours a day. You know, you don't. Every time you meet with the Lord, you don't have to have your socks knocked off. You can just be with the Lord. And or maybe the thing about Nehemiah struck you. Like, I need to just be open through my day, you know, through my day, just to have that conduit with the Lord. Try that. Start, you know, entering into that. And if you forget, you have to start again. That's okay. Start as many times as you need to. He's eternal. He'll be there. Okay. All right. How about if we close with prayer? Geraldine, are you there? She may not be there. It's hard for people on Skype to always be right there all the time. Oh, hi, Geraldine. If you're there, Geraldine, would you be willing to close us in prayer today?
Sure.
Thank you.
Oh, dear Daddy in heaven, we are your children. We long to hear you, be with you, and to talk to you. Thank you for calling us today. And Lord, our flesh won't want, but our spirit longs to be in your presence always. Just honor that heart right for each of us. Just bring us close. And let us run to you. It says, we draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. We love you, Dad. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Geraldine. Thank you all for being online with us today, and we will see you next week at the same time.